Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Warm up the grill, grab a beverage, and paint your face.
How do you like yours, Clark?
Oh, medium rare, a little pink inside.
Oh, you're fine. Light or dark?
This is Danny and Dusty on Conference Championship Week.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Vicki, can I help you with that Kool-Aid? Please.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Happy Wednesday.
How everybody doing here?
Is it Wednesday?
Yeah.
The Monday.
Tis.
The Monday off.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's Wednesday. Oh. Don't do that to me. You have me second guessing.
I had to do the phone tap. Like,
don't do this
Wednesday?
To me. Yeah, you know I'm not smart enough to trust my own instincts. My wife is beating that out of me. Never trust your gut.
Well, not only that, like the Blazers having early games throws me off entirely because now my sleep schedule goes haywire.
For sure.
It's like, I don't know what day it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what day it is normally, but when you start messing with my days of the week off and then you put the Blazers on the East Coast, I definitely don't know.
Pretty good with days of the week.
I'm not.
I'm pretty good. Number of day? Nope. 22nd?
Yeah.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Day of the week? Dialed in. Yeah. You got. When you have kids, you'll get there.
Well, it's
because
thing,
kids force you to be like, oh boy, I have to know what day of the week it is because, look, getting kids ready for school, I have to know what day of the week it is because I need to know if it's PE day or music day because you're going to take those damn Crocs off if you're going to PE. Any PE teacher that's on his lunch break, you're welcome. You at least got one parent who cares about it, and it's me because I'm not going to send my kid to school. I can put him in sport mode.
No, you can't,
you idiot. You're going to put your damn shoes on.
I wonder how many injuries those are responsible for. But then again, kids are made of rubber, so. But no, I...
Thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
I have not attempted to do anything remotely athletic in Crocs, so there's that.
See, well, good.
No.
See, we just keep sending the second grader in her shiny pink cowboy boots.
See, so. you can't, not on PE day.
Look, they got to give me that printed copy of the specials schedule. Okay. It's a 1 through 6, and there's only 5 days in a week.
Okay. I'm going to let you know right now, library day. I don't care what you're.
Yeah, there you go.
Or at least find it. At least make it easy to find online so I can print it up and put it in the kitchen. But they make that thing.
Don't care.
I've got two things, and I'm going to derail the living bejesus out of us with this. You guys are going to have opinions on this for sure. Number one, the days of the week thing disappeared for me when I was overseas, and I have never recovered because it just did not matter.
Okay.
So it has fundamentally broken me. Number two, our worst day on the web yesterday was going to be, I believe it was a school district in somewhere in the South. God, was it Louisiana? I think it was Louisiana, where they are charging $1 a minute for late pickup. So this woman got a bill from an elementary school,
at a public school
for $62.
You can do that at private school.
Yeah, sure, because it's Yeah. It's their own rules. But that's the thing. It's a public school, and they're like, you can't do this.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
you can't. You can't do that. Unless it's an after-school program.
No, this is like straight-up regular school.
Yeah, after-school programs can do that.
Yeah.
Not school. Also, I mean, if that's the case, the Harrahs are about to be rich.
I don't think it goes to the teacher. I'm guessing.
They're the ones having to stay.
Yeah. Look, and I get it. People, you know, parents get frustrated. Again, this is me childless, but I used to walk home a mile every day in elementary school.
Yeah,
Was it uphill both ways?
Yeah, they got laws the now, brother.
No, just one way. It was downhill there, uphill home.
Yeah, no, they got laws now. Like, you can't be at home alone and stuff until you're 10. 10.
That's so crazy to me.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I get it.
You can't have your kids home alone with, like, another. I think you have to be 12 to be a babysitter. No, to like leave your kids with somebody else's.
That's so crazy. Like, I remember, I mean, my parents left me home alone 6, 7, 8 years old. Like,
yeah, well, that explains a lot.
Yeah. But you know what? The house never burned down. I never got hurt. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you didn't get hurt, but the scars still stand emotionally.
Yeah, sure. I may or may not have wondered if my pocket knife could cut the fireplace.
And there we go.
And, you know, there was a permanent mark of, like, a cut into the, like, the white, you know what I'm talking about? Like, the white brick.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And my dad was not thrilled about that one. Hold on. That's not one you can't fix.
Let's just get this clear here. Your childhood, like, this started at such a young age that there were no red flags that maybe prison is suited for him, that you were literally doing the notches in the wall of, like, how many days I've been in prison when you were a child at home. And they weren't, that wasn't a red flag to be like,
home alone, 6, 7, 8 years old with a pocket knife.
Mm.
Well, you have a whole set of knives in the kitchen.
Not only that.
I mean, like, come on.
I was a little Boy Scout.
There was a little bit of free range parenting in my house too. I remember I got dropped off because unique childhood. I would either get dropped off at home
or a bar,
or the bus would drop me off at the bar. which I don't think the school district would allow anymore, but. What? I mean, it was a different time.
To be fair, it does have like a side of the facility that is open to minors, the restaurant side.
Didn't have that back when I was a kid.
Okay, I tried.
But I did live there. I lived above it.
There we go.
Yeah. But I would get dropped off either at home or the bar, and I thought I was going home, but I was supposed to be going to the bar. Wasn't that far of a walk, and so I was a kindergartner. And I vividly remember this, of being like a kindergartner and going to the house and like, house is all locked up. Don't know why. We lived in the country. Didn't really matter. But house is all locked up. And so I was like, you know what? All right. We had a German shepherd named Jack. I went down and I put a leash on him. We went down to the barn. So it was like a lead rope for a horse. And I started walking down a road with no shoulder. No sidewalk.
Yeah, there's not that on that road. No.
No. And we were walking, and a farmer is sitting there up on the hill, and he goes, hey, are you the Harrah kid? And I was like, yep. And he goes, where are you going? And I was like, to the tavern.
Mm.
And so he goes, I'll give you a ride.
As a child does.
My 5-year-old intuitions, brilliant. Because you know what that German shepherd did? Tried to bite his face off. And I was like, Easy. So
I'll give you a ride in this white van with no windows.
Yeah, it was a truck.
Oh, okay.
It was an old beat up truck.
Does this rag smell like chloroform?
Yeah. And so we're driving, and my mom's like speeding home, realizing I'm not at the tavern.
Mm.
And she's like, drives by, and she's like, oh my God, it's my dog. And I think there's my kid in the front seat of that car. So I got a ride.
There you go.
This is my baby's first hitchhike.
Yeah, as one does. I like it.
But I was smart enough to take the dog. So yeah. I was okay. I could have been there for a little bit.
Sure.
I could have killed some time. You know?
You're fine.
Yeah. I was smart enough to take the dog. I wasn't going to let anybody. Like, if you were going to kidnap me, Jack the German Shepherd was going to make it hurt first.
Yeah. There you go.
He was a good dog. He's a good boy.
He's a good boy.
He was a good boy. Except for people couldn't come over because he would literally just be sitting at the driver's side door. Mm. And if you open that door, no, bad things are going to happen. Mm. But he was great to us.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But that's the best kind of dog.
He was great. He was a good boy. Mm. Yeah.
He was a little good boy.
Yeah, he didn't live very long, though, because German Shepherds, they die quick,
they,
man.
They have a lot of things because they've been bred down, yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, but yeah, he could probably find drugs.
There you go.
So, I don't know.
Natural.
Yeah. Yeah, shouldn't charge for the late pickup, though. I'm not opposed to it if the teacher gets the money.
There you go. This is yeah, forget with Harris Casino. It's Harris late pickup.
With
that's
a
where the real money is.
That is a teacher. I would say
you're pro late pickup tax.
Yeah, pay the teacher a little something there on the side.
It's like a little something under the table.
That's
if
right.
You're not gonna.
I mean, if it is.
What if we start tipping teachers like they're mail tech?
I was just going to say, do you guys like tip the mailman or the garbage man around like Christmas time? Garbage man probably doesn't get that as much anymore because
he makes a god awful amount of money.
The mailman no longer comes up and drops mail like at the house. It's the communal mailbox over across the street.
Well, we don't have the same mailman every day anymore.
Yeah. I don't either.
We have a rotation
about
of like
four of them.
Yeah.
Well, because now there's mail delivery 7 days a week.
Yeah. So, but I think like that used to be that used to be commonplace, yeah. And that's kind of gone to the wayside. Yeah. We should tip the teachers.
We used to tip
if Burgerville employees can get tipped.
We tip the Alpenrose delivery guy.
Yeah, I say like we used
every
to
Friday
we
he drops off the milk and such.
The Schwann's guy.
Yeah,
because he would bring the delectable treats.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
those Schwann's chicken cordon bleus, the frozen ones. You ever had those?
They were good. Yeah,
those were like that was like high class cuisine as a child.
Yeah,
cordon bleu.
I was. Playing golf with a bunch of buddies. This was a while ago. And the Schwann's man was driving. We were down in Medford.
Mm.
And we were at the Rogue Valley Country Club. So kind of a nice place.
Yeah.
And we were a little tipsy.
Sure.
And I have a buddy who sees the Schwann's man drive by.
Was he thinking ice cream?
Flags him down. He's like, hey, I need a box of those ice cream Sammies. Yeah.
Yes!
He's like, all right. Throws it over the fence. Shoves like
the PayPal through the fence.
No. This was a cash transaction. This is cash only,
love
my man.
It
slips like $40 through the fence, and
gets him with a keep the change.
They were the best ice cream sandwiches I've ever had because it was one part they're really good, but the second is like, how did this just happen? It made it taste better.
Quite fortuitous.
It's always better when it's illicit.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Beverage cart girl isn't going to do this. And the beverage cart girl comes driving by. It's like, hey, you want one of these ice cream Sammies? She's like, where'd these come from?
It's what made the weed in high school so much better.
Schwann's man.
Because you had to do horrible, horrible things for the worst version of it.
He just went rolling right on by. And we slipped him some cash.
Yeah.
We got this bad
boy. That's
what
you do.
Yeah.
And you feel less dirty about it than the dealer back 25 years
and
ago.
And I'll tell you what, my game really turned around after those
for
ice cream sandwiches.
For the better or the worse?
For the better.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It
leveled you out, huh?
Leveled me up a little bit, yeah.
Usually the dairy mixing with the alcohol is problematic, at least for me.
Mm-hmm. Milk was a bad choice.
Yeah, no, there's a...
That was just later in the day that really got me.
There's not many things that will disrupt my little tummy. Mm-hmm. Mixing the dairy with the alcohol is that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So no White Russians for Mr. Meringue.
No, I don't do the White Russians, the Irish car bombs, none of the...
Really?
Oh, that's not even dairy. That's just Bailey's Irish cream and like a half ounce of it, wuss.
No, I'm just... I'm saying it. You put the... You just literally said cream. Yes, it's dairy.
You can't handle a half ounce of Bailey's Irish cream?
No, it's dairy and alcohol. Just like it's an instant bubble guts.
I can't do a lot of them. Like, Suk will have, like, he'll just keep ordering White Russians over and over again.
White Russians.
And I've been at the bar, and I'm like, okay, dude, like, I'm going to have to change this thing up because I'm going to have diarrhea here.
Yeah,
in
this
a minute.
Is like,
how do you not?
I can go for a couple of those in a row.
Have a couple, but not a couple of hours worth of them.
What's nice, too, is you take that White Russian, you add a little splash of Coca-Cola in it, and make that son of a gun a Colorado Bulldog.
Yeah.
Tastes kind of like a root beer float.
Yeah, see, no, I just, something's floating all right.
Colorado Bulldog?
Yeah.
I I like it. They're your four text lines.
Yeah,
I was also a huge fan of Air Force Dining Facility Cordon Bleus, which I'll tell you right now, all the jokes about the Air Force having the better stuff, they aren't jokes.
Yeah. Okay, well, so what was better, that or the elementary school cafeteria wiener wrap?
Oh, no. No.
Ooh.
No.
Now,
the Air Force DFAC.
The
is
wiener wrap
golden.
Was delicious. And
because you guys had a special one.
Yeah, we did.
In your little district. I remember your story.
Yeah, because we only had two schools in our entire school district growing up. So we had like gourmet lunches.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like a big school district. There's only two elementary schools in our whole district.
You didn't get any silver dollar pizza?
So they were handmade.
I didn't get any silver
wiener wraps.
Pizza.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like
they were the Costco hot croissants? Costco dogs.
Oh, just chopped up?
No.
Oh.
No. No.
Oh, no.
Whole dog?
Brother.
Oh, man.
Wrapped in, yes. It was amazing.
Bro.
Yeah. It, believe me, when the district combined with the Hillsborough School District, there was an upheaval in that cafeteria.
The thing we looked forward to in elementary school and was, number one, the CFS, chicken fried steak.
Yeah. I was just going to say, yeah, the chicken fried steak.
And the orange vanilla creamsicle cups.
With the wooden spoons.
Yes.
Dude, those, I love those wooden spoons.
Those were the undefeated meals.
Yeah, we also had occasionally there'd be a Friday. It was gumdrop day. So if you find a gumdrop in the middle of your like dinner roll, you got to go in there and get an ice cream bar. That was fantastic.
I remember
that. Yeah. Like goes totally counter to what every school teaches you now, though, of like, hey, check your Halloween candy. There might be something in there. Like
back then,
it was like, oh yeah, let's see what this gummy takes. Let's see where this gummy takes me.
They're not to the moon. Get you at the school cafeteria.
That's what they want you to think, Russ.
It's where you get the good ones.
Unless you got old Chonger in the back there.
Be a lot cooler if you did.
Hey, man.
It's effing vodka, man.
All right, let's get this show on the road.
No one of these 100 milligrams don't mess with these kids anymore.
Yeah. Ooh, great text on the Vancouver Ford text sign. Wiener Rap sounds like a band Rust would listen to. That is 100% correct.
I can get, yeah.
They opened for Me First and the Gimme Gimmies.
Absolutely.
Me First and the Gimme Gimmies featuring Wiener Rap.
There's definitely somebody playing a trumpet in that band. 100%. 100%.
All right. Or a flute. All right, here we go. The Blazers stumble into a win last night in Miami. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland Trail Blazers pull off a victory last night in Miami. Not really expected, but Tyler Hero didn't play in the 116-107 win for the Blazers.
No, just the other two All-NBA guys instead.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler went out there in his Phoenix Suns shoes and
shaved points.
But he was bad when he was on the floor.
I mean, yeah, what did they think was going to happen? What did they think was going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just him and Bam were both bad.
Yeah, what's going on with Bam Adebayo, though?
Bam,
he didn't play in the fourth quarter.
No, and to be honest, Bam's been bad this year. Like, It's weird. I don't know what's going on. Clearly, the vibes there aren't great. Excuse me, I would imagine that, well, the whole, like, people surprised by the Jimmy thing beyond it being Jimmy. We talked about this literally a year ago coming out of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's going to go bad there. Like, behind the scenes, Jimmy is pissed. And he kept it quiet for a year.
Yeah. Which, that's surprising. He went a whole year?
I say, he kept it quiet publicly for a year. And if you don't think that, like, Bam sitting there watching that and seeing what's happened in the past and seeing what's happened before, like, he sits there and goes, yeah, they haven't added anybody else. And anybody else who's been good, they've let go. So, like, the whole heat culture thing, yeah, there is a heat culture, but beyond, like, being militaristic and getting after it and Spo being the coach, it's also chewing you up and spitting you out when they think that you don't have enough left.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like a... The business is the business. That's always going to be the nature of the business.
Yeah, that's really any elite franchise in professional sports.
But they also...
That's what they do, is, like, they will push you out before your final days so they can get something for you, but they do, they
also make it nasty. Yeah. Like, and there's... No one is immune to it. Yeah. It's cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
When they say the business is the business, they mean it there.
Yeah.
And some people are like, yeah, good. If you tried to operate like that in Portland, you wouldn't last.
Yeah.
This fan base would not stand for that.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, I don't think it's good or bad. There's a reason why there's only one Miami, because they run that thing with an iron fist, but that iron fist is relaxing. Like, Pat is getting out-egoed by Jimmy Butler, and he's going to lose.
Do you think that's a problem in the NBA, though?
Yes.
Because this is where, I don't know if this is sustainable, because...
No. They have
league wide, they have ceded way too much power to guys that are not, that think they're Michael Jordan, and that
even if they are, they shouldn't.
Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan did.
Yeah.
And then,
but he didn't even wield that power like this.
But we have now guys that are nowhere near the top player in the NBA that are doing this time and time and time again. I mean, we can go, Jimmy Butler is doing it. Joel Embiid has done it in Philly. We have Anthony Edwards in
already
Minnesota.
Getting snippy about stuff. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, we can go down the list of guys, and, like, we haven't mentioned LeBron James, but this is, like, LeBron James's entire career.
Well, that's where,
but he may be the guy who's, like, worthy of it.
Yeah, but that's also where this came from. And
Kyrie Irving, James Harden,
I think
Kevin Durant.
I think we're the tail end of this. I really do. That's what this CBA has done. And the only reason that this is happening is because it is this perfect confluence of events where Jimmy can pick up a $52 million option and tell the Heat to go bleep themselves. You want to mess around? You want to try to find me for $52 million?
Check Jimmy out!
Yeah, I can make this miserable for another year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hilarious because he's become the meme, but he is the one, besides James Harden, who will make this unabashedly toxic.
Jimmy's ready.
Yeah.
It is the thing that, you know, I've been talking to folks behind the scenes before this one happened. I was like, Jimmy's winding this up. I'm telling you, it's going to get bad. And he like it was like, oh, what are you going to do? I'm like, watch. Like, what do you mean? What can he do? We've seen him do it at three other stops. He can make life hell for everyone. Mm-hmm. Now, 99.9% of players won't do that. Like, here's a recent one that they tried. They tried to start the fires around De'Aaron Fox. And that was in De'Aaron Fox is represented by Clutch. And in the past, you went to Clutch when you wanted something. That's what you would transfer to Clutch as to be a representative because they had the pry bar to get you out of there. The new CBA says, good luck. Like, if you want to get out of somewhere, you have to get nasty. And nobody else wants to do that because Jimmy has made a reputation on doing that, but he's also made a reputation of being successful.
But has he?
I mean, he backpacked a team to back-to-back NBA finals.
But he's
no
never,
business doing it.
But he has never gotten over that hump. And I think a lot of it has to do with the person that he is.
I think the biggest part is talent deficit.
but go look at
the teams that he took.
No, I understand that, but he got to the NBA finals twice.
Yeah.
He absolutely has. Has it been worth it organizationally for Miami?
I think if you talk to anyone in that office, even with dealing with this, the answer is yes. Because in their mind, it's a means to an end. But they haven't
gotten to the end.
I mean, if you're getting to the finals, you're getting to the finals. Like, if this Blazers team got to the finals twice in the Damian Lillard era, that is a massive success.
Well, absolutely it is. But there's also a sliding scale of expectations to Miami, which they get there.
No, I get it, but that's the thing is that...
They were in a title window where it was like...
And they didn't do the things necessary to win.
Yeah, but I think that is also on Jimmy. Jimmy, as you said, backpacked that team. He's a really good player. Mm-hmm. But the other stuff is what gets people over the hump.
I push back on that just because Miami didn't do the necessary things because their owner was broke. For those that don't know, Mickey Arison, while worth a lot of money, if you think about during COVID, he owns Carnival Cruises.
Mm-hmm.
He lost millions upon millions upon millions of dollars.
Who's going to be a team that says we can fix Jimmy Butler?
Because it's not even like buddy. They think they want it to happen.
Well, isn't that draft pick trade kind of a harbinger of the things likely to come?
Let's get to that because there was. By the way, Blazers won. I'm not happy about it. Rust, are you happy about it?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
they're not even good at being bad.
But this goes to the point of they can play well. Mm. They did it on the road.
There you go.
They're still competing.
Kind of.
15-28.
There you go.
All right. But Phoenix did pull the trigger on trade, and Danny Ainge is, if that man had a mustache, it would have twirls on the end of it.
Oh, God.
And I feel like he would have a monocle.
It's probably tying some damsel in distress on a railroad track.
I'll tell you what, he is twisting that mustache right now because he pulled one over on the Phoenix Suns again. We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter. The Phoenix Suns have sent a 2031 unprotected pick to the Utah Jazz. In return, Phoenix gets something that they don't have.
Multiple picks.
Tradable draft picks. They get three first-rounders that are heavily protected. It is the worst of... I hate how the NBA does this.
Cleveland, Minnesota, or Utah's picks.
Whatever the worst one is of those three teams...
In those three given years.
They get the worst
pick. So, to put this in perspective, if Cleveland finishes with the best team as the finals champion, you would get the 30th, let's say the Timberwolves finished 15th and the Suns finished 8th.
Look, they're getting it will
you're
be,
getting Cavs.
Let's
picks.
Be honest here with the way that this is playing out, 24 through 30.
Yeah. You're getting Cavs picks, and there's a very strong likelihood. And here was the thing. When they made the trade with the Cavs to send Donovan Mitchell there, there was a – this is before the new CBA. There was a very strong belief that Donovan Mitchell was only going to be there for 2 years, and he would be in New York.
Ooh.
That's the reason they did the deal.
Guess what? He's not.
He's not. And so they're leveraging that now and going, you know what? Those picks aren't going to be that good. And they aren't going to be that valuable to us. You know what is valuable to us? If we are building towards something and we are in a place where we can be very successful, like in the prime of our rebuild, and that is in 2031, a wholly unprotected pick from the Suns, who right now have zero assets, and their only way of getting out of this is trading away Devin Booker.
And by, oh boy. Well, isn't there the rumblings, though, that Bradley Beal is open to waiving his no-trade clause if it is to a few select teams, and one of them being Miami?
Yeah, I mean, for very obvious reasons. His, you know, tax-free, income tax-free rate of $50 million would be mwah!
Bingo. Doesn't make sense to Miami, though, no, as much, unless they really want
picks that aren't that
picks
good.
Picks that aren't that good.
Yeah,
but.
And this is what it sounds like. That, and I don't think it's going to end up being a one-to-one. I was talking to somebody last
Maybe
night.
Maybe they could get Dame, finally.
Yeah. What's going to be really funny is when Beal ends up in Milwaukee and the Heat plan to get both Dame and Beal ends up actually being Milwaukee's plan.
Mm.
Milwaukee is a team that's interested. So the four-way structure, some version of it, involves Phoenix, Miami, Detroit, Milwaukee. I've heard up to five teams in a potential deal.
So it'll never happen.
The more teams that get involved, the less likely it is to occur.
Yep.
But it appears that there is motivation from multiple sides to get things done. I would just love to see the Miami Heat get next to nothing out of Jimmy Butler after all the nonsense.
Oh, really?
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
It'd be very fun.
Is Tyler Herro going to wind up in Milwaukee, too?
Mm-mm.
Back home, baby.
Well, they are. I mean, they're pushing all in. Like, Tyler Herro
is their guy now.
Is their guy.
Which is actually something Jimmy Butler said he was mad about. So, but yeah, so that the Jimmy Butler stuff is there. I dove into the Blazers trade deadline stuff on the Patreon, if you want to check that out. Jack Ramsey's Patreon. There's a deep dive into each player that's potentially on the block.
I have a question, though, about this with the five teams, four teams. Those have always been trade killers. Is the more teams that you needed to have, the worse the likelihood was
because
that you were
everybody
get...
has their own goals and everybody has their own thing that they want to accomplish, and then for to help somebody out, somebody wants to an extra pound of flesh, and then just bleh.
But with the new CBA, it's very prohibitive to go for a one for one and just have a two team trade. Are we gonna have to see these teams get on the same page and
all the teams that are up in like the first and second aprons? Yes, because it's not as what's funny was I was talking to a player the other day, and players don't understand the ramifications of the new CBA. And
you don't say.
No, and I mean, in talking to some agents don't even fully grasp it. I can tell you this, they all don't like CJ McCollum for signing this deal. If that was just something they were all standing strong on.
Well, maybe their hate is fueling him because he's playing really well right now.
Right? Yeah, his term as union president comes to an end at the end of the season. But the interesting thing was, I was talking to a player and he was like, so if I wanted to go here or here, it couldn't just be for like salaries. I go, no, like that team can't even make moves. They're in the second apron, man. Like you know, like that, absolutely not. He's like, well, why? And I kind of like walked him through and like, this is the thing that you can't do. And this is why you can't do that. And he's like, well, that kind of sucks. I was like, yeah. So you have to be very specific with where you like, if you're behind the scenes and you're trying to move somewhere, how you target it. Where you target, why you target. And it's not just about like getting to LA or Miami. It's getting to the right team that has contract space opening up so that you can get paid on your next deal and sets you up kind of for the future as far as like basketball. Like that's guys are in the past. It was like, let's go play with my buddies.
Yeah.
We can force something. We, you know, I can set up a deal, this, that, or the other, where our contracts expire at the same time, a la LeBron James, and come together in Miami or come together in Los Angeles, or, you know, we can force some trades here or there because we can just make things work. That's not the case anymore. That's just not, like, across the league. Now, over the next couple of years, number one, I very strongly believe they're going to reopen the CBA and make it to where things are a little bit easier to get done, make the second apron significantly less punitive while still operating as somewhat of a hard cap. The other part of this is you're going to see player salaries come down. like the guys like the Zach Levines of the world, the Brandon Ingrams of the world, those aren't going to exist anymore. They're going to get significantly less. That makes those guys more viable in deals. Like, you're going to see a slotting. The middle class kind of disappeared in the NBA. And I mean the traditional middle class, not like the mid-level exception. Like, I'm talking like the $18 to $25 million. Like, that just, there is only so many of those guys. Now I think you're going to see a lot more of those guys, and you're going to see the guys that are in that range get knocked down a little bit, and it's going to be interesting to kind of see how that shakes out.
Kind of hurt, though, the Blazers, because they had contracts that were middle viewed class. As middle class, mm-hmm. and now they're not as valuable anymore because they're going to be the norm,
that's
and
be the
you can't really trade for them right now.
And that's where my whole thing on where the Blazers stand on the trade deadline is, they're not going to be, like, I have not heard them come up in the Jimmy Butler trade, like as a facilitator or anything along those lines. The way I've heard them discussed is whatever team doesn't get Jimmy Butler or parts in that trade, they end up working as a team for the secondary teams. The teams that are chasing Cam Johnson, you know, there's going to be only one team gets Cam Johnson. Does another team go, crap, we missed out on Cam Johnson, we need to find the next guy in line? And then do you win that race? Like, that's kind of where things appear to be around the league. So it's an interesting spot just for those deals, because I feel like it's one of those things where somebody's got a finger in the hole in the dam.
Yeah.
And if they take it out, you could see a bunch of deals made. But I don't know if deals are going to get made.
It doesn't sound like the boon that Blazer fans were hoping for.
No, and I think, look, again, the thing that we've kind of prefaced here is if you see a bunch of contracts that are around Jeremy and Ant get moved, and the Blazers aren't one of them, then, and I shouldn't say that, deals just for the sake of deals aren't good. But if you see deals that make sense, a bunch of them around, and the Blazers aren't involved, then you start raising an eyebrow.
Yeah.
Coming whole cloth back, circle back to the Miami game, boy, the Blazers played well.
They did.
They played really well.
Scoot did not score. For me to say, it might have been his best game. 8 assists, 11 points, yes. Like efficient 11 points too.
Completely in the flow. Completely in the flow. He had a plan. He knew when Ant was hot, get him the ball. When Jeremy was going, get him the ball. When to start the game, get DA going. Like, yep. He kept things going.
And he didn't turn the ball
over. They only had two turnovers in the night. And the Blazers, for the first time since 2019, didn't have a turnover in the first half.
Really?
Oh, they played a clean game. What? That first half is about as good as you could get.
Outside of almost giving up 40 in the first quarter, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, both teams didn't play any defense in the first quarter. Like, it was defense optional.
Hey, you're not going to turn the ball over if you're not playing defense.
No, get up and down, have some fun.
All right. Okay, well, way to go, Blazers. Way to go. Golf clap.
There you go. Mm. Now, go lose the next 8 games in a row.
Okay, yeah. Maybe that will happen.
It's a start.
Hey, it is championship week here on The Fan, and we have a championship week update for you. Nick Sirianni with a big health update on two players that they're going to need if they're going to want to knock off the Rook and the Washington Commanders. Danny and Dusty on The Fan. Nick Sirianni updating the status of both Jalen Hurts and Quinyon Mitchell ahead of the NFC Championship game this weekend. Jalen Hurts, left knee. That was gnarly when he got bent backwards. And I was like, how is his leg still alive? I thought they were going to have to amputate. He got bent, like rolled up on. We see that with like linemen all the time, where you get rolled up on like that. Nope, not a good situation. But he ended up bending over backwards, and he toughed it out. But he was not the same. And that's where his numbers were. I was like, yeah, a little bit dinged up late in that game. That's a concern heading into this one, because Jalen Hurts' legs, obviously a massive factor for the offense in Philly. And they talked about it in the broadcast, like a little bit of hesitancy to do the tush push because of Jalen Hurts not being able to get that leverage. Because I don't know if you know this, he can squat 600 pounds.
Yeah, no, I may or may not have heard that once before.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know Jerome Bettis is from Detroit?
Interesting.
Did you know that Tim Tebow went on a mission, did missionary work to circumcise children while he was at the University of Florida? Did you know all these things?
Kevin Love from Morgan.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Yeah. Are there any more like heavily repeated tropes than those? Is there a Tiger Woods one we're missing?
My,
it's a Tiger one that I'm thinking.
Well, he used to golf with his dad. He used to go out to the country club with his dad.
Turns out that was a little bit more
than we thought at the time. No, but that knee injury is of concern, but Nick Sirianni did say that.
It's a big part of what they do. It's not like, and it's not even the Lamar Jackson type stuff of like improvising or, you know, designed runs where it's like, this is a guy who's your plus one in the running game, like between the tackles type stuff. Like that's, he's, for all of my criticisms, as it were, of Jalen Hurts, like the things that he does do is like, he's a running back back there.
Yeah.
Like he runs with intent and through contact. And he, I mean, the breakaway run he had against the Rams was like, oh, that's different. Like, it's a designed run where everybody thinks it's going one way and pulls it back and let me take off and be like a running back in the open field. And like, if that's not something you can utilize or you can go to or even flag that, you know, it's possible.
Yeah.
Like, because if his knee's cooked, and it could be, you can't even fake it.
Well, he's going to be going through walkthrough today for the Eagles. Mm. And Quinyon Mitchell, which I think is, that's a huge injury too.
Yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell, he's been
fantastic for them.
With a shoulder injury, will also be available for walkthrough. They're going to need both those guys. They're going to win the NFC Championship game. I can't believe I'm saying.
Against the Commanders.
For a chance to beat the Commanders,
it's crazy.
They're going to need Quinyon Mitchell and obviously Jalen Hurts. That's a huge one because you do not want to roll Kenny Pickett out there for your chances to go to a Super Bowl. Kenny Pickett.
That's tough.
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I don't see that one. I don't see that one working out well.
I don't
care how good the ground game is.
No.
Yeah, it's tough.
No.
Although, you know, teams have stacked the box against Saquon like his entire career in New York, and he was still really effective.
Sure. But and maybe you just tell Kenny, all right, drop back, yell 500, throw the ball as far as you can.
YOLO.
Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown might get it.
Mm.
Just go do that.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the NFC
Championship. Has anybody
tried
that in a while? It's been a while since we've had that. I like a good 500 throw. Will Howard's throw to Jeremiah Smith to secure the title game, that was a bit of a 500 throw.
No, it wasn't. You want to know why? Because Jeremiah Smith said, if you play man, I will beat you. Like, he's been telling everybody the entire playoffs, like, play man, I dare you to. We will throw the ball up and I will go and get it. Mm-hmm. That's not a, hey, this is a prayer. That is, nope, that's what we do.
No, but
and
Will Howard,
you're gonna get beat.
Will Howard did have the look of every dude we ever grew up with who played 500 when he threw that ball. The angle at which he turned, you know, when you play 500, you have to kind of like dip the hip all the way back. Like point one shoulder at the sky type stuff.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Meh.
Which, yeah. I mean, that ball, I can't remember last time I say ball. Though that high,
you have to throw it far enough to where if you have a playmaker like that, though, that's the way your quarterback should throw that ball. Because if you have a guy who's bigger, stronger, and faster, he's going to go up high point. It's exactly what Matthew Stafford did with Calvin Johnson.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Which he did. I love hearing the interviews when they talk about that. Like, no, there were plays where he just literally said, go,
yeah, and it was like, I'm going to go let my guy make a play.
That's an insane thing in the NFL to be like, just go.
Do you want him to like put touch on it and like have a DB get in the way? No, just let her rip.
Speaking of Stafford, I don't think we talked about this in the game the other day. That was one of the, was it Higbee that just completely freestyled a play in the end zone to turn into a touchdown?
Yeah.
That's such an insane thing. He just looked around and was like, I was in my feet from the block, and I'm just going to flare out, and Stafford just throws a rope to him.
Tight ends have that leeway. And look, you saw it also with Detroit as well. They do that with their running backs, and everybody's like, I mean, Kelce and Mahomes are the best at this, right? Where it's like, improvise the route, find a soft spot, and you're going to be open. Running backs and tight ends, and sometimes slot receivers, like Julian Edelman used to be really good at this.
Sitting down in that spot.
Is your quarterback has to know it, and it's not like it's just like miraculous, but if they are aware that, hey, if you have nothing to do, find work, go find work. And we saw Jared Goff has done this like he did it in the against the Commanders, and he did it the week before, where he'd be like scrambling and be like, oh, hey, look, running back. And it, everybody's like, look at that. That's crazy. It's something you practice.
Yeah. It's not schemed, right? But it's there.
Yeah. Find work. Yeah. Go be useful out there. Don't just be a wasted body. And Higbee did it, dude. Touchdowns are awesome.
It was just insane because of the way Stafford, because he's right-handed rolling to his left.
Yeah.
Was your progression is, you know, from middle out for him to get back to middle after going, nope, there.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah. And to do it with broken ribs, apparently.
Yeah, that came out. His wife saying his, well, I mean, it makes sense when he got hit and went to the sideline and went, and you were like, what's wrong with him?
Kelly Stafford. I wonder how many times Matthew Stafford goes home and is like, really? We're doing this again?
Can you stay off the internet?
Can you not just put it all out there on the podcast? But this is the time that happens. Yeah. He's like, my agent is supposed to leak this, not you. My wife on her podcast. All right, let's get to hour number two. As the carousel turns, we've got teams still firing people, and we got some movement. Jobs are being snatched up around the NFL. And whoa, Nelly, this is a big one. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.